Good morning, Westites. Hello. It's so good to be here with you. I would love to be there in person with you, but that's not possible right now. And we know that God is not limited to a church building. He never has been, never will be. And so we can still be together in this way. It is still good that we can gather in this way. My name is Anita. I am a friend from the denomination. I'm part of the Be in Christ Church of Canada. I grew up in Waterloo, fun fact, and so I'm just a neighbor growing up, but I've lived in Toronto for the last 11 years almost. I spent the last 5 years serving as a pastor at the Meeting House downtown Toronto, so another friend of the church friend. Churches can be friends, right, in our denomination. So it's a joy to be here with you. I finished up in that role at the Meeting House downtown Toronto about just over a month ago, feeling that God was calling me into a period of preparation. And so I am in that period right now. I took a step in that direction. I'm working on finishing up my master's. There's a few things that have happened in my life. I've gotten engaged. And so planning life and what that looks like in the near future with my fiance. I'm also the Canadian director at Women Speakers Collective, which is a group of women who are seeking to empower women's voices across the globe. That's something that is very dear to my heart, and I really love serving with them and enjoy getting to know the women and empowering them in whatever ways that I can. So that's a little bit about me. This is where I'm coming from. It's good to be here with you. We're going to talk today about holy ground. I titled the sermon this morning, When God Interrupts, because I don't know about you, but I personally have experienced quite a few like interruptions to my life, interruptions to my plan for how things were going to go for me in this last year. And I think maybe so too with you. I don't know. There's a lot going on in the world. But I'd love to just spend some time talking about that, thinking about that, welcoming Jesus into it. So let's start there. But I'd love to begin in prayer. Please pray with me. Dear Jesus, thank you that we can gather here wherever we are, that we are together and joined with you in your church, even though we're not together in person. Necessarily. I thank you that you say where two or more are gathered, you are with us. And so we know that you are with us, that you are hearing us. I pray that you would speak to each of us what you have for us this morning, that you would give us each something to take away and think about and chew on as we head into the week and continue in experiencing you as Lord of our life and knowing you as God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we are a couple weeks away from Easter, which means that in the church calendar, we are in the Lent season. I grew up Roman Catholic, so we did Lent a little bit differently there. Sometimes people practice Lent, sometimes they don't. That's okay. But what is good to know is that in the church calendar and for Christians throughout history, Lent has been this period of preparation for Easter. Sometimes it's referred to as these dark days heading into Easter, where there is light bursting forth with Jesus's resurrection. And so we can just be aware and think about the fact that the whole church gathered across the world is in this period of preparation for Easter right now. And we are so lucky, can I just say, to live in Canada where Easter aligns with spring. And so we can start to feel things warming up. We see life bursting forth with the season of spring. And that's just such a beautiful thing that we get to enjoy as a bonus part of being Canadian and living in this wonderful country. So enjoy that with me, celebrate that with me. Hopefully it's getting warm where you are and you are in anticipation of spring, of new life, of good things to come. And I am grateful to be in this preparation with you this morning, with this Sunday. As I was thinking and praying about what I would share with you this morning. I experienced some interesting interruptions and disruption in my life. We're talking about when God interrupts. And so I can tell you, I experienced that this week in my life. My fiance and I had been planning to move to the west coast of Canada in a few months after we get married. And we had plans, you know, for life and ministry there. We were looking at houses. I had started when he visited, I sent some luggage back with him so that we could get things started with the move there. And just less than a week ago, he and I were praying together. And this might be his fault because of his prayer, but we were praying together and he said, you know, God, could you just be clear, just make it clear if this is where you want us. Is this where you would have us be? Or is there something else that you have for us? He prayed, just be clear, you know, and the very next day, my friends, the very next day, God was very clear. And that door suddenly just completely shut. And it is very clear we are not going to be starting life together on the Sunshine Coast. That is not going to be a part of our future. That's just the reality of things. And so we experienced just this week this kind of holy interruption, and we asked for it. We are grateful for it. He and I have both been following Jesus for a little while, so we are maybe not used to, but we welcome these plot shifts when they happen, and we're happy to be excited for what God has for us. But it was an interruption nonetheless. We had plans, and it was this interruption to these plans. So I got to live this message as I was preparing it this week. And so we're leading into Easter. What I really love to do when I'm thinking about preparing to share with a community like yourselves is I try to think like, how would Jesus think about this? How is Jesus experiencing this if it's from the Gospels? And so because we're heading into Easter, I focused in on the Gospels and I was like, what was Jesus doing just before Easter? So we talk about, you know, the Last Supper, we talk about him even riding in to Jerusalem on the donkey. And so, but what was he doing like just before those things? What was he doing? And how was he thinking and interacting? And what was he like? What were those days like for him? So I was going through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the four books of the Bible where we really learn a lot about Jesus' life and ministry. And these are four eyewitness accounts. So sometimes they have some differences because, as you know, eyewitness accounts can be personal to who is experiencing them, but also to who the audience is. So sometimes there's some differences, but that doesn't need to alarm us. It can actually just verify for us that these are probably true and accurate accounts and that these events did take place because we're seeing them from different perspectives. And it's actually so much fun to notice what different authors highlight and how they choose to tell the story and what is important to them to communicate to their audience. Sometimes they have different details and things like that. And one of the things that suddenly stood out to me was that in all four Gospels leading up to Jesus's death and resurrection leading up to Easter, we have this a story, an example of a woman anointing Jesus before his burial. Jesus declares that she's anointing him before his burial. So I will include those passages in the notes for you so that you can look into those further if you want to. But we're going to refer to her as the woman in Bethany. We're going to focus on this passage in Matthew this morning. But you can find a similar passage in each of the Gospels. And I encourage you to have a look at that and think about that and pray about that with Jesus this week. Think about what that means for our preparation for Easter this week. So I would love to read this passage for us. I'm going to start it a little bit early just to remind us that we are, you know, preparing for Easter and heading toward Jesus's crucifixion here. We're going to look in Matthew 26, and I will read to us verse 1 to 13. That's Matthew 26, verse 1 to 13. I would love for you to turn there with me if you have your Bible, and we could read along together. When Jesus had finished saying all of these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is two days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." So we are just a few days before the Last Supper, and Jesus is telling his disciples that he is going to be crucified. He's blatantly telling them that his crucifixion is going to happen. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or there may be a riot among the people. And then this is where the woman at Bethany comes in. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Even Jesus' own disciples, his own friends, who had been with him up until just 2 days before the Last Supper. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." So, wow, what a powerful moment. How interesting that Jesus would say, everywhere the gospel is told, this woman's story would be told. And surely we see that. We see this in all four of the gospels, that there is a story like this of a woman anointing Jesus and him declaring that it is for his burial. And so as we read this passage, we can pay attention to what Jesus is doing. First of all, this woman bursts in to this home. We don't know if she knew the home, if she's familiar with it, or what's happening there, but she bursts into this home and she goes to Jesus. This is completely socially inappropriate behavior for her and for Jesus to welcome her and allow this to happen. You can tell by the response of the disciples. They are like, "What is going on? Jesus, you just taught us that we should be taking care of the poor, that money should be going to the poor and resources. And now she's wasting these resources." And so this is an example of the disciples, you know, just missing the heart of God there. So she bursts in the room, and you notice that Jesus actually completely welcomes this interaction. He completely welcomes this interruption. I'm welcoming an interruption right now because on my balcony, a family of pigeons has just joined. So I hope that you cannot hear them, actually, but if you can, then maybe it is a welcome interaction. Maybe this is holy ground that we are on right now, a whole family of pigeons making noises on my balcony. Okay, so back to the woman in Bethany, the woman of Bethany. She has barged into this meeting, this dinner that Jesus is having with some friends, and she anoints him with oil. And then Jesus declares that she is anointing him for burial, that this is a beautiful thing that she has done for him, which is so cool in so many ways, because he's already declared that he will be crucified. He's told his friends, the disciples, that, and they still aren't getting it. But what is also happening is Jesus is also referring back to, in welcoming this, he's referring back to these other points in scripture where kings have been anointed by oil in a similar fashion. Samuel anointed David to be king, and the priest, so Samuel is the prophet Samuel. And the priest Zadok anointed Solomon to be king. We can find those in 1 Samuel and 1 Kings, and I'm happy to include those references in your notes. So what we see here is Jesus is celebrating and welcoming this interruption, and in the same breath, declaring this woman to be in the role of what a priest or prophet had done previously in scripture, to declare somebody as king, and also in the same motion to be preparing him for burial. Something that's interesting about that is that it was not allowed for a criminal to be prepared for burial with this sort, with these sort of spices, with this ointment, as was the tradition, as was the custom. So because Jesus was crucified as a criminal, this declaration in advance and this anointing in advance declares that he was not guilty as well. So some really beautiful imagery and important things that we can notice and pay attention to in this action. This woman doesn't use her words in the story, she uses her actions. And we don't even know actually if she knew, like, did this woman of Bethany know that she was coming in to proclaim Jesus as king, to help Jesus interrupt the narrative that the Messiah would be this warrior king that would lead his people out of their oppression, out of their difficulty. But this example and Jesus welcoming her to do this is actually showing that Jesus' kingdom is going to be set up quite differently than the kingdoms previously. And we see this in all four gospels. This woman who anoints and declares Jesus as king, and that he will, and anointing him to die on the cross. And then Jesus just welcoming this interruption, receiving her. And so in her actions, this woman has made herself a part of what God is doing in the world. She's made herself a part of God's story, even to the point of Jesus declaring that her story will be told everywhere the gospel is told. So something you need to know about me is that I am a pretty big Bible nerd, if I can proclaim that myself. I love to study the Bible, and I really love teaching the Bible. I love to wrestle with the texts like this, and I love to see what God brings out of it for me, and then getting to share that. And I love as well this thing that tends to happen to me and maybe to you, where you go to this familiar passage and you realize you just have a moment and it's like God the Spirit reveals something to you, and then you just can't stop seeing it anywhere in scripture. Has that ever happened to you? This happens to me sometimes, especially when I'm preparing to teach. I love that part. And this was no exception. And so I've come out of this preparation period completely convinced that God loves interruption, and that God moves in interruption, in disruption, and that God celebrates, like Jesus celebrates this woman's interruption. This lowly, like unnamed woman in Matthew's passage, she serves in the role that a great prophet or priest had served before. And yet she is just functioning in this role to anoint Jesus and declare him as king. And then when you look at scripture, you see that Jesus himself interrupts the course of humanity, all of human nature, by showing up as a baby and living his life in service to God, proclaiming the kingdom and his death and resurrection. You see it in the Bible. You go back to Genesis, you see Noah's flood. Noah was not, he was going about life, and God interrupts and says, Noah, I need you to build a boat. Build a boat. Abraham and Sarah's legacy is interrupted. What they thought was going to happen was interrupted by God's plan for them and God's promise for them. And you can see Jacob who wrestles with God when he's on his way to reunite with his brother Esau. Moses, our friend Moses, is interrupted. Moses is living his life, doing his thing, and interrupted by this burning bush where God has something for Moses to do. Mary, the mother of Jesus, her life is interrupted by this angel who's bringing good news that Jesus would be born to her and would save her people. And what we can notice is that although these are interruptions And God seems to me to delight in these interruptions. These don't start as warm, fuzzy, comfortable things, right? These are a big tasks. They can seem daunting, and they can seem overwhelming outside of the realm of possibility for these people. And yet God is not asking them to do all of what is required. He's only asking their obedience. And we know, we can see here that when God interrupts, it is good. It's good. I've begun seeing it in Genesis, even the first part of the Bible. You know, the Spirit is hovering over the water, and God says, "Let there be light." And then light interrupts the darkness and was separated from darkness on that first day, and it was good. So God separates the darkness from light and has not stopped doing this throughout the course of history. Light, goodness, love wins in the end. And sometimes God uses these interruptions to our life to show us this. Jesus, you know, further solidified this goodness wins, this light separation from darkness, in his life, death, and resurrection that we are preparing for and in anticipation of celebrating at Easter. We as Christians are people of the resurrection. Redemption is our story. As I said, even Lent and Easter are sometimes described as these 40 dark days leading to light bursting forth at the resurrection at Easter. And this means that we can hope for and expect that Jesus is bringing all things to right, even now, that this is his great task. It's not ours, thank God. I know I can't do that. You can't do that either. But our task, our invitation, is to agree with God on this in prayer with our hearts, minds, and actions, to proclaim as the woman of Bethany, even when we don't have words. And even when we don't know how God is using our actions, we can follow. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is John 10, verse 27. And Jesus says there, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." I just love this image of what it looks like to be led, to be shepherded by Jesus. And I practice this myself. When I'm, you know, hear conflicting voices, or I'm feeling like I have a negative voice in my head, I can stop myself and say, you know, is this the voice of condemnation and negativity, or is this the voice of love and light and liberation, and the voice that I know Jesus to be, of freedom and peace and justice and love for all? It is a joy to be led by Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in each phase of life, in the expected and the unexpected interruptions, because I know he is in those too. When God interrupts, it is good. And when God interrupts, it is this invitation to recognize, to notice that we are on holy ground. You don't have to be a special prophet or priest or pastor to be on holy ground. You only have to notice. Something that I do sometimes to recognize when I'm on holy ground, when I experience these interruptions, is I literally physically take off my shoes. I take them off and I say, okay, God, I recognize that I am on holy ground. Another thing that I do that I'll offer to you is I will open my heart, and sometimes it helps me to open my hands, either in my mind or physically, and say, okay, God, I open my hands to you. I am open to your interruption, to what you are doing here and now, and I welcome that. So those are some things that you could practice this week when you have an interruption. whatever that may be, I wish only good things for you this week. But if there happens to be an interruption, something unexpected, I welcome you to welcome that interruption as an invitation to holy ground and to consider whether God is meeting you there. Because when God interrupts, it is good. It is good. It is good. It has been such a joy to be with you this morning. I would love to just pray for us before we head into the rest of the day. Dear Jesus, thank you that you are the God who interrupts. Thank you that you are the God who came into the scene when we needed a savior, when we needed to be rescued, that you are constantly entering into our lives with love and liberation and freedom, and that even in the interruptions, even in everything that we are experiencing right now, we can sit in those, be aware that things are not good, things are not okay, but you are also in that with us. You are with us as close as the next breath. We thank you for that. Thank you for your love, and we thank you that we can spend this time in preparation for Easter, when you give us, when you present the greatest interruption in history with Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, that you invite us into to participate in this new life. May we be people who know your voice, who listen to your voice and follow, like the woman in Bethany. And thank you that we get to look forward to Easter in a few weeks and celebrating what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. West Heights, thank you so much for spending this time, for welcoming me into this space with you. It has been such a privilege. And I can't thank you enough. Peace and love and grace to you. Take care.